Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Resilience Is My Beauty with yours truly, Tawanta J. How are you all doing, family? I hope everyone is doing well. Everyone is feeling good. I hope your day is going great. So, you know what's up? Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Drop your bags. Drop your purse. Go ahead in the kitchen and grab you something to drink. Have a sit down in our room. Prop your feet up, darling. Yes, yes, yes. It's been a long day, right? Go ahead, take a deep breath in and exhale slow. Hey, what's up? What's going on, family? How are you all doing? I missed you so much. I know I've been MIA for the past couple of weeks. Yes, and it was on purpose. Yes, it was. I just abruptly, yes, and I'm just keeping it real with my family. I abruptly did not show up because I had a lot going on, and I still got things going on behind the scenes, and it's all good. It's nothing bad or anything like that, but it has been taking up my time. And also, I just didn't have anything of value, I would say, to share with you from my perspective, I would say. I know whatever I put out here, I hope it is valuable enough for you guys that it really has changed your life or has had you to really start to rethink about where you are in your life and all of those things. But I just needed that time away just to reflect, to, just to really listen to God more than anything, and just take a breather. That's basically what I needed to do. And I did not want to come on here just rambling, but I wanted to make sure when I do come back that I wanted to give you something, that will be sustainable, something that will be life-changing, something that will really have you to say, ah, that's what I needed to know. That's what I needed to hear. That's confirmation. You know what I'm saying? And so for the past few days, for the past few weeks, I have been doing some rethinking on my part and thinking about my life, thinking about, just how wonderful God has been in my life, where I am now and where God is soon to take me through all these different avenues, journeys, experience, or whatever you want to call it. I'm looking forward to it because I know all that I have endured so far in my life, he was basically, preparing me for such a time as this. But I look back over my life and, of course, I was just thinking about, when I was in school, when I was in high school, and, how blessed I was then. And at that time in the 80s, of course, I was just a kid enjoying life and enjoying music and all that good stuff. And of course, I wanted to go to college because, hey, that was the thing back in the day. That was what I wanted to pursue, not understanding what college was really, really about. But I knew I wanted to go there. And, I didn't really have anyone in my life that really paved that way. My mother did not go to college. She finished high school, but that's how far, I went with her in terms of education. Not saying that she didn't want to pursue college, but at that time in her life, maybe college was not just in her goals at the time. She came to Newark, New Jersey as a young girl, in her late teens, I believe, if I remember correctly. She was pursuing trading school. She wanted to, learn more about computers, I think, or something to that regard, or what have you. She was just really learning herself about life, and that's understandable because here it is today, 2021. There's a lot of people who graduated high school, didn't have no intentions of going to college, and they just trying to figure things out, but I didn't have anybody in my life per se. I mean, in my generation, as far as my cousin on my mom's side of the family, my aunt's kids at the time, you know, they, you know, pursue college and all those things. And that was just it. It was just me and my cousins at the time. And that was it, I think, if I'm right, that pursue college and even further than that, you know, grad school and all those things. But, you know, when I was in high school, you know, I was just thinking about, wow, how much, you know, I enjoyed high school, how I was blessed to be around peers and friends and whatnot, had wonderful mentors, great teachers, all of that good stuff. And, you know, how much I loved music, and I knew I wanted to pursue in music because that's pretty much all I knew at that time. And I had the gift in music in terms of voice wise. I wasn't I didn't play any instruments at the time or whatever. But I loved good quality music, and you know, and I wanted to make that a career in some sort. And you have to understand at that time, back in the 80s, you know, you were limited with resources. You know, the teachers at the time, you know, they taught what they taught us, you know, what was given to them, I guess, you know. And I have to say my mentor at the time, my music teacher, Dr. Jennifer Johnson, bless her soul, you know, she was a phenomenal woman, a great educator, a great mentor, a great supporter. She loved her job. She loved her kids, and she would fight tooth and nail for her kids. You know, she was just like an ambassador, you know, for her students. She did not take no mess. She would fight to the bitter end to make sure that, you know, we received what we rightfully deserved, what we worked hard for. And she definitely wanted the world to see and to hear our voices and all those things. So she truly had played a major, major role in my life personally, to such a degree that she's the one that introduced me to, you know, my alma mater, which is Bethune-Cookman College. Well, now it's Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach, Florida. And didn't know anything about Bethune-Cookman. I never heard of Bethune-Cookman College. And I'll be honest with you, I never heard of an HBCU. and I don't even think they really said it at that time back in the 80s. I could be completely wrong, but I don't remember even hearing those letters at that time. But, you know, historically Black colleges and universities at that time was not so prominent then as it is now. And, you know, I wanted to go to college and all those things. And I really, like I said, I really didn't get a full understanding about college. I knew of college through other nationalities. Okay. You know, like Harvard and Stanford, Princeton University, because I'm originally from Newark, New Jersey. So Princeton is in New Jersey, of course. And, you know, all those other universities and colleges and all those things. So I knew about those schools, but I didn't know anything about, you know, the history of, you know, historically Black colleges and universities at that time until, you know, my mentor brought it to my attention. And I remember, and I think I said this some time ago in the past, about when I was taking my SATs, you know, that, you know, you have to write down, I think, three colleges and or universities of your choice that you want to send your scores to, what have you. And I think, if I remember correctly, I think I put Howard University, and I want to say I did Hampton University. I'm not sure. To this day, I don't even know what the third one was, but I know it wasn't Bethune-Cookman because I never heard of that school before at that time. But unfortunately, when I received my SAT scores, they weren't high, but they weren't low either. But it wasn't good enough where I did not get accepted into those universities at the time. And of course, I was discouraged and all those things. And my teacher, Dr. Johnson, had brought to my attention about Bethune-Cookman. And I never forget that conversation. She always was a bubbly type lady, very, very just so happy-go-lucky type of woman. but she said, oh, well, Tawana, don't get discouraged. I have something great to share with you and this, that, whatever. And I was like, what? You know, because I was discouraged. I really was, because I didn't think I was smart. I didn't think I was, you know, intelligent. I didn't think I was, you know, equipped to go to college. You know, I'm a city girl from Newark, New Jersey, from the hood. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and to see some of my peers, you know, hearing their stories about they got accepted to some great, you know, great college universities. And whether they were a black college university at the time or not, I don't know. But I just know at that time they were, you know, going to college. They had, you know, they had support and all those things. But, you know, she brought to my attention about Bethune-Cookman. And I was like, Bethune who? You know, what is that? And I did ask it. I said, what is that? I never heard. I couldn't even say Bethune. I was like, Bethune what? Well, who? You know, this is a true story, man. And she went on to tell me that she said, oh, Bethune-Cookman College is in Daytona Beach, Florida. It's a phenomenal, historically black college, and you'll be great there. I know the music director there. Her name is Dr. Rebecca Walker Steele, and they come to my church every single year doing the Mother's Day, doing a summer tour, because they go, they have a summer tour, da, da, da. So she just went on and told me about you know, about Bethune-Cookman, and I was like, oh okay. And I guarantee that you're going to get in, because I, you know, because she's always recruiting, and she's, you know, very highly interested in, you know, in listening to wonderful voices and this, da, 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 whatever. And so, you know, I was like, okay. So I told my mom about it, and it was around that time where they were on tour and that they were, you know, scheduled to perform, to do a concert at her church, at Bethany Baptist Church. And yeah, man, I was like totally kind of, I was excited. You know, it was not just me, but it was my two of my homeboys at the time that also we were all graduating together. And my homeboy, Sam Jackson, and my other homeboy, Leonard Hampton. And we all three of us went to the church that day. And Dr. Johnson introduced us to Dr. Rebecca Walker Steele, bless her soul. And, you know, we auditioned right there in front of her. She wanted us to sing something. And I don't even know what my homeboy Sam and Leonard sang, but I don't remember what I sang. Just to think about it now, I don't even know if I did Amazing Grace or Precious Lord. I don't even remember, guys. But she was impressed by the sound and everything, even though all three of us was like nervous because we had to audition right there on the spot, you know. And you know, and it was just like, wow. And she was a little bit intimidating too, you know, because she's from that old school. Okay, she's from that old school, you know. They are very strict, they don't play no games, you know what I'm saying. But at the end of the day though, you know, we were just in awe by the quality and the tonality and the musicianship of the choir. It was just impeccable. It was amazing. I was hooked. You know, my homeboys, we were all hooked. You know, and so Dr. Steele, you know, she said that she was going to admit us in. So basically, we got in, which was kind of crazy because we didn't sign no application. We didn't fill out no application forms or anything like that, man. And God was just right in the midst of all of that, and not even knowing at the time that God was doing this from the get-go. You know, we was just tripping out. Like, we just want to, like we had just signed a contract deal, like a recording contract or something, you know? It was just so, like, totally out of pocket for us, man. And then shortly after that, you know, I did receive in the mail, and she gave us a partial scholarship at that too. So that was a blessing, man. But you know, as I was preparing myself for college and everything, you know, totally excited about it and whatnot, you know, I didn't even think about what it was going to be like. I had just assumed that, you know, college was going to be like high school, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm gonna be going to different classes, yeah, just like high school. You know, I'm gonna meet different people, yeah, just like high school. You know, you know, I just really thought it was gonna be like being in high school almost, you know. But once I stepped foot on that campus, and man, oh man, I knew it was gonna be a very different experience for me. And my mom, of course, came with me or what have you. And, of course, you know, had their mandatory meeting with the parents and all that stuff or whatever. And then after that, my mom left and whatnot. And then I was on my own. And yeah, I was excited. I was nervous. I was scared. All of those things. But again, I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. And once school started and everything, you know, I was just feeling my way through. And basically, I was already getting educated before I even walked into a classroom, because I was being educated about the social lifestyle of college living. And meaning that, you know, I was being introduced to all of the different sororities and fraternities, you know, because, you know, you have the freshmen, you know, new kids coming in the block or whatever. And so, you know, they always have, you know, the upperclassmen to do a special type of performance, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's when all the Greeks come out and they go ahead and show off, do their thing and everything. And that's how I learned about, black colleges, black sororities and fraternities. I didn't know anything about that until I walked in on campus. And I knew about sororities and fraternities, but not in detail in terms of our culture. I knew of it based on other cultures, okay? Like I said, you know, I only heard of Princeton and Yale and, you know, all those elite colleges, Georgetown, all them back in the day. And back then, you know, those sororities and fraternities at that time, they were often on the news, you know, especially when it came to the hazing and all other kind of stuff that went down. And my mom was totally against that stuff, you know, and especially back in the day, if you remember, if you have relatives that are still alive today, you know, they were all about saying that, you know, sororities and fraternities was all demonic based, you know, it was a cult. And all those things back then. And, you know, I listened to that stuff and I didn't know no better. I didn't know, you know, but when I got to college, man, you know, I was already being schooled, about college life before I even walk into a classroom and open up a book. And it was intriguing. It was exciting. It was like, wow, you know, and to see the AKAs, you know, coming down the stroll and doing their thing, they're chanting everything. And here come the Deltas. I'm like, oh, sucka sucka now. You might go check them out, you know, and Sigma Gamma Rho and the Zeta Phi Betas and all that. And then here comes the brothers. I was like, oh, sucka now, you know, I see, you know, Phi Betas, and I see Omegas, and I see Kappas, and here come my babies, Alpha Phi Alpha. Yes, I love my brothers. I'm an Alpha Angel. Yes, I am. And I was just in awe by all of that, man. They came out, they did their thing, and it was just exciting. And but of course, all of that passed by. And then it, you know, got down to the nitty gritty and going to classes and all those things and understanding college life and college living and realizing that, you know what, I'm not in high school anymore. That, you know, these teachers are not going to baby you. I'm not saying that in high school that they were doing that, but it was a major difference. You know what I'm saying? That this time you are on your own and this time you are going to be held accountable. You know, and they expect you to do the work that you say that you are qualified to do. Okay, there is no pat in the back. There's no holding the hand. There's no like, oh, you be okay. No, they just expect you to do the work and get it done. You know what I mean? And that was a bit intimidating, but you know, I got through that. And I have to say that, you know, through the early stages, even before the student body return, one of my homies just didn't want to be there anymore. He was homesick and, you know, and he just couldn't take it. He just didn't want to be there anymore. And that was my homeboy Leonard. And my homeboy Sam and I, we was just begging and pleading, you know, because we were like the three musketeers, you know, coming in there, man. And you know, we can't break this, you know, we can't break this bond. Because all three of us, you know, we were in a choir together, we were in the gospel choirs together, you know, and whatnot. So we, you know, we were a family pack, you know. And for him to just decide to, you know, to break that bond, it was like, you know, heartbreaking to me personally. I took it personal. I wasn't angry, upset with him, but I was hurting because I was like, yo, why are you going to leave us like that? Come on, Leonard, you can hang, man. You can do this. You can do this. No. He was wrecked. He was like, I can't. I got to get out of here. And yes, he left. And it was just Sam and I, you know, the dynamic duel. And, you know, we represented Newark very, very well, I must say. We represented Newark, New Jersey very, very well. We stayed to the very end. And, you know, it was a blessing and all those things. And, yeah, you know, so, of course, you know, as time passed on, years passed by, what have you, I'm stepping into my major and all that stuff. And mind you, I came in as a music education major. And, but of course, around my sophomore year, I don't know what I was drinking, which I wasn't drinking. I'm just saying figuratively. I don't know what was going on in my head or whatever. I just had one of those sadity moments, I guess, where I just didn't want to teach. I didn't want to take any, elective courses or something. Cause I was, I remember myself, you know, preparing for my, for the next season or for the next semester, I'm about to say. And I know there was some courses there that I was just like kind of intimidated by. And I think it was a foreign class or something. And I don't remember, but I know I was like, I don't want to do this. I'm going to switch my major. So I switched my major. I switched it from education to performance, to vocal performance. I stayed in music, but it was not in education anymore. And of course, I had a couple of my mentors, my professors at the time to just, you know, tell me, Tawanta, you need to just go back. You know, stay in your major before, what have you. And, you know, so I just was like, I'm changing my major. I'm doing this. I'm doing it. Like, I know what I'm doing. Right. But I was playing myself. I really was. You know, I was playing myself. I was smelling myself. I was just being a little too cute. Okay. But, you know, nobody couldn't tell me anything, you know. And so I switched my major and anything. Little did I know what I was getting myself into. And once I've got into my major, I mean, I was starting to take courses that was in my major, what have you. Boy, oh boy, I was like sweating. I was introduced to courses that I never heard in my life, you know, and I'm like, what the heck is this? You know, I'm like, what kind of foolishness is this? What composition? I mean, literally got to take, conducting, not composition. I take that back. Conducting. I was like, conduct what? You know, I'm being raw and real with y'all guys. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm like, why I gotta take conducting? I want to sing. I'm not trying to conduct an orchestra or anything. I want to sing. So why is this in? Why do I have to take it? And it's a required course. I was not happy with that. And then of course I found out later I had to take music history. And I'm thinking music history, like, oh, okay, music history. Well, you know, I know a little bit of music. I know history. You know, I know blues or R&B, you know, that kind of stuff. Girl, no. Music history, going back to the Gregorian chant, back in them days, back to the medieval period. It didn't go to the classical, the Baroque, and the Romantic period. All this stuff, learning about, you know, all these foreign composers and all was having a fit. And what made it worse is that we didn't have a music history teacher, or better known as a musicologist. We didn't have one of those. Mm-hmm. At Bethune Cookman. No, we did not. No. And we and my voice teacher was the one that they pretty much had put in the position of teaching music history when she herself had to go back and teach herself music history, you know? So it was like we both learning about this course. While she was teaching us, she was also learning herself. You know, it was like, it was just crazy. And, you know, the book that we had at that time, man, that was just horrific for me because I couldn't stand that book. But that's a whole nother topic in the near future. But anyway, I mean, I got involved in something that I didn't know that I was getting myself into. And if I just would have listened or what have you at that time to my mentors, things probably would have been different, you know, of course, with me and what have you. But, you know, I stuck it out. I barely passed that class. And that was a course I had to pass in order for me to graduate. And I did not pass one semester. So, of course, I was a semester behind. You know, am I right? Yeah, because I didn't pass it the first semester, so I had to repeat it again, and I barely passed it, but that C was like an A to me. I did not care no more. I was thanking the Lord that I was done, you know, and I was just, you know, to the limit with that thing, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, I was just really not, first of all, I didn't even realize that I had the ability to sing opera. My voice teacher had brought it to my attention when she heard me, vocalize and everything. And she told me that, you know what, you really have a gift in opera. And I was looking at her like about to slap her in her face. I was like, what? Because I grew up singing gospel in the church. That's all I knew at the time, singing gospel. And of course, like I said, of course I did my, you know, I did R&B and all that stuff like that. But I did that mostly on my own personal time, you know, upstairs in my room, blasting the music and listening to WBLS, you know, 98.7 Kiss FM. What's up, New York? What's up? You know what I'm saying? Back in the day. And, you know, I was listening to all the good jams and whatnot. And I just didn't know God had given me that versatility, to actually sing opera, you know, and classical music and all that good stuff. So when she told me that, I was just totally offended. Okay, I was smelling myself again. I thought I was, you know, and I just totally denounced that thing. You know, so of course, I really did not welcome that gift in me. You know, I did not welcome that. I tolerated the gift. I did not appreciate the gift. I said that many times before. You know, I tolerated the gift. I didn't appreciate it. And that's a huge difference right there. So, of course, I went on, of course, you know, with my career, what have you, and traveled with the choir and stuff like that and performed and all that good stuff or whatever. You know, but college overall for me was just not what I had imagined. It was not what I had pictured. And, you know, and I look at when I was in high school again, that, you know, how as much as I love my mentor, Dr. Jennifer Johnson, and even not even just her, but other people at that time in my life, you know, outside of high school, you know, I felt like I was cheated, you know, and because no one really told me what to look out for. No one prepared me to, you know, what college was going to be, what was going to be like. No one sat me down and said, okay, these are the things you need to know about college 101. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I had a high school counselor, of course. His name was Mr. Davis. He was a phenomenal counselor, really down to earth. He was just awesome, awesome, awesome. He kind of reminded me of Morgan Freeman. You know, that's because he was just that cool cat. You know what I'm saying? But he was really, really a great guy. He loved his students and all of that. And he could only give me what he could give me at that time. So, but he never mentioned to me anything about, from my memory, I don't recall him ever mentioning to me about historically black colleges and universities, what have you. And there were so many of them, or what have you, that I could definitely, you know, look into. And like I said, I don't know if he did or not. I can't really say, but I don't think he did. But, you know, at that time, guys, I really felt I didn't really had the support as I should have. I didn't have the people in my life, those that were there, to really break it down to me and tell me, okay, Tawanta, if you want to major in this field, here are different avenues, here are different routes that you can take, consider in this field of music. You know, because the only thing I knew about music was just either performing it or teaching it. And I knew that from my mentors, you know, from Dr. Jennifer Johnson and from other people outside of that. And, you know, that's what I said. I want to be a music educator, you know, and all those things, because I love music and I want to teach music and all of that. And that's a great thing. But I didn't know that there were other areas in that field of teaching as well. You know, I didn't know what music colleges was. I didn't even know what that meant at the time until I started taking music history classes and until they invited a professor who not only was teaching musicology, but she was also teaching ethnomusicology. And that's pretty much a global study of music, you know, from African style to, you know, to Swahili, to, you know, Moroccan, all kinds of stuff. You're learning all different style of music, from the instrumentation to, you know, the notation, all that stuff. I mean, this sister, first of all, she was a sister. Second of all, you know, she was just amazing when she, talked to the class and everything. And I'll never forget that day. My sister friend, my roomie at the time, she and I both were music majors, and, you know, she was so in love, if you will, by this woman's power, you know, that she said that she was going to major in ethnomusicology. And come to find out that there was not a lot of African-American women in that field, and even in musicology alone, you know. And so that was very intriguing to know. And that had me to start thinking about considering teaching music history as well. And honestly, to come back to my alma mater and teach it. Because again, Bethune-Cookman didn't have a music history professor at that time. And I don't even think they have one again to this day. I could be wrong, but I don't know, you know. And if they do, fantastic, thank the Lord, praise the Lord. But if not, okay, well, yep, we won't work on that, right? But, you know, that at that time I was considering, you know, like, wow, wouldn't it be great to teach, you know, that level of music versus teaching just the basic, you know, elements of music education, you know, like the basic theory and all that other stuff, but really dig deep and dirty, if you will, teaching, you know, the history, how it started, you know, where did the staff come from, how it was formed, how it was created, you know, where did the notes come from, you know, where did the quarter notes come, where did the, you know, all these fancy terminologies and stuff that we notice for those of us who are musicians out there who sang in the choir, that red sheet music, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, you're just kind of curious. And so that was very intriguing for me. And I had said that I wanted to pursue that. And, you know, after I graduated Cookman and whatnot, and then later on, I went to Morgan State University and whatnot, and I still wanted to pursue and consider teaching music history. But it did not happen the way I had wanted to happen, or I hoped to happen. But, you know, as I said before, when I was in high school, how I wish that I had someone at the time to really bring it to my attention, as to let me know that there are so many different components. There are so many different positions of different fields of music that you can definitely look at, or, you know, and study and research. Maybe things would have been different for me. You know, maybe... I know for sure I would have had a whole different mindset, you know, as I was entering into this new world, that I knew exactly what I wanted to pursue in terms of my music career and all those things, right? You know, when I came in as a freshman and my, you know, whatnot, and started entering into, you know, taking certain musical classes or whatever, my freshman, sophomore year, whatever, of course, my peers coming from all different walks of life, coming all different directions or whatnot. Most of them came from Florida. They was born and raised there. But some of them, you know, were a little bit more advanced than I, in regards to, you know, teaching, learning, knowing the history of, not knowing the history, I'm sorry, learning theory And yes, my voice teacher at the time, she did teach us a little bit of theory and whatnot, but you know, it wasn't like a class, you know what I mean? Like you go into a theory class. For those of you who studied music, you know, you got theory one, theory two. Now, I don't know what they got today. Back in the day, I'm going based on what I remember. But, you know, things might be totally advanced now. And if those who are in college right now, whatever. But you had theory one. And then, of course, you had conducting classes and you had composition class and all those things, too. You know, it was not brought to my attention back in that day. And how I wish that my teacher would have told me about those things. And I would have probably definitely would have looked at it and, you know, and reconsidered some things. I also was not prepared for college in a way, knowing just understanding college life. Again, like I told you before, you know, when it came to the Greek life, I didn't know anything about black fraternities and black sororities. I didn't know that existed, you know, until I got on college campus at Bethune-Cookman. And that's when I was, you know, educated right there on the spot. How I wish I had people back in the day that was, you know, would teach me or you know, would have helped me to understand what I was getting into. Because college is a huge world, man. As that show, A Different World, that's still going on today. Oh, my God. That was the show back in the day when I was in undergrad. My friends and I will be sitting down in that lobby waiting for Dwayne Wayne to come in and break off that wedding with Whitley. Man, we all screaming and stuff in there. Oh, my God. That's when I was living in Meg's Hall at that time, man. Sweet memories. Every time I see those episodes, man, it takes me back to the time when I was in college, man. I never, never forget those moments. It was special, very special to me. But, you know, it is true. It is a different world, you know, for, you know, when you enter into college life, man, because you don't know what you're getting into. And especially if you have not been prepared. If you have not been prepared prior to walking on college campus, man, it could be rough. And as I said before, you know, it was the three musketeers, me, Leonard, and Sam, when we came in on that campus. But you know, my homie, you know, Leonard, it was just too much for him. He didn't know how to deal with it. He didn't know how to embrace it. He didn't know how to handle it. It was just a whole lot. And then, of course, you know, we are away, you know, from our families and close, you know, our family, close friends, or what have you. You know, we're in a foreign land, you know. I've never been to Florida in my life. And I think Sam been to Florida before, if memory served me correctly. But I think Leonard and I, we were the two that never, ever experienced Florida before. So, you know, it was a lot. It was very overwhelming. But yeah, man, you know, college is huge. It's a big step, you know, to walk into a big world to walk into, and how I wish I had people in my life at that time to really educate me and to show me, you know, what to look for, how to prepare myself for each year, you know, what to look for myself, my sophomore year, my junior year, especially my senior year, and all these things. Nobody brought that to my attention. Nobody brought to my attention about student loans and all that stuff. Nobody brought that stuff to my attention back in the day. And how I wish I was educated, you know, and I would have had a better understanding, and I would have known what to do about, you know, really maintaining my grade point average, you know, really fight hard for that thing, you know, so I can be able to be, be able to apply for scholarships, not just the partial scholarship that I received from Dr. Steele at the time, but also, you know, receiving some additional monies at the time. Yes, I did have Pell Grant going on, but, you know, they only gave you but so much at that time. But thank God for it anyway. But all that money, it fell on my mother's lap, you know, and she had to put out a loan and everything. And I didn't like that, but that's what it was at the time. And I never forget my freshman year. You know, that's how I got my first work study job, was at the financial aid. And this lady, this lady was a phenomenal lady. I can't remember her name, but her face is in my mind right now. And she was well liked. The students at that time just loved that lady so much. She was one of those administrators that really loved what she did, you know, and she loved her students. And she went beyond the call of duty, just like my mentor, Dr. Johnson, did, to make sure that the students were well taken care of. And she was the one that actually kind of educated me about all these additional funds, monies that was accessible, that was available for students like myself at that time. And, you know, she's the one that helped me to stay in that school, to stay at Cookman because of her knowledge, because of, you know, what she presented, these scholarships and, you know, and all these things, man. And I thank God for her, because she was just a true blessing in my life, just like she was a blessing to a lot of those students' lives at that time. Unfortunately, she did pass away some years later. But my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, she was just truly a godsend. Okay, because boy, oh boy, we were struggling. Okay, we were really going through. And especially for those parents at the time that really didn't understand loans. They didn't understand, you know, how these loans was just, you know, that they were attacking you, baby. After you graduate from college, that's 6 months. They give you that 6 months grace period to get your life established and all those things. That 6 months was like 6 weeks. Okay. You know what I mean? And, you know, I had just wanted to come on here, guys, just to, you know, to share you a part of my life, my story to you, and to hopefully be a blessing to somebody. And I know for all of you, you probably, you know, you've been there, done that. But I know some of you still have kids, or you may have some grandkids that's in high school and they are also going to college and whatnot. And you may have kids now that's already in college, you know, and whether or not they've been prepared prior to college or what have you, you know, just to let you know that they're not alone, you know, the current situation that they may be facing with right now, financially trying to figure out how they're going to pay for the semester and all those things. Been there, done that. Oh, my word. It was a stress factor for real for me. You know, but thank God for those individuals in my life that, you know, helped me to stay on campus. They made sure I didn't go nowhere, you know, and it was just a blessing, you know, and God was working that thing the whole entire time. He was working it out for my good. And I truly am humbled and grateful by that. But yeah, I mean, I just wanted to share my story to you guys, because, you know, we look at our life now and we sometimes regret of the choices we made, or we sometimes, feel a little bit discouraged because we wish that somebody would have said something back in the day. Well, I wish my mama would have said this, or I wish my auntie would have said that, then I would have been in a whole different situation right now. Things would have been different for me, this, that, or whatever. Well, maybe so. But you know what? God already knew the steps that you were going to take. He already knew the decisions that you were going to make. He already knew the different route you were going to take, the route that he did not, that he had not planned, but yet he knew it was going to be a part of you. And, you know, and it is none of the things that we have done, the choices we made on our own, you know, it's not going to waste, or it has not been wasted, because now you're at a stage of your life where you can testify, you can share what God did for you. Even back then, when things were rough, things was crazy, you were naive into some degree, yet you can still be able to share your story to somebody about your experience or what have you. You know better now than what you knew back in the day, right? And, you know, now you know not to cheat yourself. Now you know not to play yourself. You know what I'm saying? Now you know what to do. Now you take the initiative, you make the initiative to do your homework, to do your research, you know, to dig a little deeper. You know, thank God for technology where it's so advanced now that you can really go to school online now. Back in the day, you know, that wasn't happening then at that time, not to my recollection. I don't think so, right? And, you know, the cute computers at the time, they were them big old box PCs back in the day. You know, so technology wasn't really, it was growing, yes, but it wasn't the way it is today, you know. And also just take under consideration, you know, at that time in your life, you know, whether it was in the 70s or in the 80s or whatever, when you were in high school, you know, the teachers at the time, they only had what they had to give. You know, like I said, my mentor, Dr. Jennifer Johnson, she was a phenomenal woman. That woman was a fighter, okay? Every step of the way. She was a breast cancer survivor, all of that too. She was a pianist, all those things. She went to college and grad school to get her degrees and all that stuff. So she was just, oh my God, that woman was just amazing. She was not showcased the way she deserved to be showcased, okay? Because she was truly a powerful, gifted woman. But she used her power in so many different ways to really help the students get where they deserve to be. And I'm one of those students. I'm one of those recipients. I'm one of those blessings that she helped get me to where I am. To where I was at that time, and not just in undergrad, but even grad school. She introduced me to Morgan State University at the time, man. And I didn't know anything about Morgan State either. Isn't that crazy? I really didn't, you know? But she introduced me. She knew Dr. Nathan Carter, bless his soul, who was also a phenomenal, gifted, you know, director at Morgan State University at that time. And, you know, I got in and God worked that out. Wow. Amazing, man. But you know, we can go back in time and we can, you know, really, you know, get depressed over the things that was not delivered to us. We can, you know, we could go ahead and build that anger or what have you, or remorse or that guilt or whatever. We can do that, but it's not helping us. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you to get forward to your purpose of what God has for your life. You know, I just take it and I just thank God that God has helped me through. I survived it all. And I didn't do it on my own. It was him and only him that got me through. And as well, those persons that he had in my life. So, you know, Dr. Johnson, Dr. Ricardo Barragan. Oh, my God. He was a phenomenal brother, a Cuban brother at that, you know, at Bethune-Cookman. He was just, oh, my God, a true blessing. When I met his family and I adopted his beautiful granddaughter as my little baby sister at the time. And oh my gosh, it was just, I was just blessed, so enriched by what, you know, college life, you know, threw back at me. How about that? You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, those are things that I was pondering on. Because when I look at my life now, you know, yeah, I wish I could have, you know, pursue certain things in life, you know. I come to the realization that, yeah, I would have been a great percussionist, you know, because I love music, I love instruments and all those things. And I see myself as playing, you know, in a band or in a group or whatever as a percussionist, you know, and it's not too late for me, you know. I can still make it happen if I really, really want to make it happen, you know. But, you know, sometimes we can easily fall back into that moment in time and we feel kind of guilty or we feel, you know, cheated. That's the word, cheated. And we get a little bit, you know, get a little bit sour about that thing, you know, like, well, here it is, 30 some years of my life and I could have been, you know, travel over the world and this, that, that, whatever. But, you know, God doesn't want us to go back in time and complain. You know, he doesn't want us to go back in time and live in that moment, man. He wants us just to look how far he brought us from. right? Look how far he has brought us from. And he wants us to just give him praise for where we are right now and where he's going to take us. Where he's going to take us, right? Yeah, you may not have accomplished some things that you wanted to accomplish when you were in college or when you were in grad school or whatever was going on in your life at that time, but it's not the end of the world. God still can use you, right? He can still use you. And he has things even better than what you thought was going to be of use at the time when you were in college or when you were in high school, if that makes sense, right? You know, like I said, there's a lot of things back in the day how I wish things were done differently for me. But you know what? I still thank God anyway, because now today I have the ability to train, to get trained, to learn, to research. As again, thank God for technology. Thank God for where we have the capabilities now to just go and really read more and be inspired and all those things. God is still using you. Trust me, your gifts are not wasted. Wow. Your gifts, your talents, your skills, everything that you have learned through the course of your life, they are not wasted, okay? That degree that's sitting on your wall or sitting, you know, standing on your wall, it's not going to waste. I thought the same thing too. You know, I'm like, I went to college for no reason then. You know, I got a college degree sitting up there. And like, what have I done with it lately? I have done a lot. I mean, honestly, it's not what how I visualized it at the time, but I have done something with that degree, you know, and I'm still doing things, you know, outside of that degree, you know, because God is, you know, he is birthing out new ideas, birthing out new talents, new skills. He's showing you what he has incorporated in you. And we do not need to be intimidated by what God is revealing, you know, to us. We need to embrace what he is showing us and get excited about it, man. Get excited about it. And especially at the level where you are, the age where you are, man, how many people that's your age where you are right now, you know, regret, you know, that they should have just listened. That they should have just went on and not allow fear or people to tell them that they're too old, you know, that, you know, they need to just retire, you know, and just stay and live on a vacation, you know, live on an island somewhere or whatever, you know. No, God is still working. He wants to work through us, right? So I want to bless you all to don't play yourself, don't cheat yourself, you know, to just go with what you already have and allow God to continue to work on you, in you, through you, around you. Take all what's given to you. Thank God for those mentors. And if you are entering into a new ministry, you know, take that all in. Invite those people that God has placed in your life. Let them teach you, let them coach you, let them train you. And if they have to discipline you, let them. They doing it out of love, you know. Don't get all high and mighty. Don't come in like you know everything, like I did, like I thought I knew what I was doing when I changed my major. I ain't know nothing, okay? that was a humbling experience for me, okay? Take it all in. Take it all in, guys. You know, and just allow God just to direct your path. He knows exactly where you need to go. He knows exactly where you need to be, right? So everything that we encountered from the time we came out of our mother's womb, from the time we started walking and talking, from the time we started, you know, really, you know, learning more about ourselves, we was getting to our high school years, getting our young adult years, everything that we encountered, we endured, we cried about, we prayed about, all of that stuff, it has not gone to waste. Trust me when I tell you, beloved, everything that you have endured, it is a testimony today for our children of tomorrow. Come on, somebody. It is a testimony. It is a ministry today for our children for tomorrow. And even for our peers today, our peers, the ones that are in our generation, right? we need to be that open book. We need to be that voice and to really encourage our peers to let them know it is not too late. Just because you're 52, just because you're 51 or you 50 or whatever. No, it's not too late for you. Don't give up. No matter what type of handicap that you are dealing with or you have been dealing with, it ain't the end of the world for you. If you are living and breathing and you are walking and talking or whatever you're doing, trust me, God can use you in a mighty way, in a mighty way. So don't cheat yourself, guys. Don't play yourself. Just humble yourself and embrace all of the knowledge, all of the wisdom that God, you know, blesses you with. But more importantly, guys, make sure that you put God first in everything you do. Make sure that you consult Him in everything that you want to pursue in your life. Don't take it upon yourself to go ahead and do your own. No, consult Him first because He knows exactly where you need to be. So guys, I hope this blessed you. I hope this encouraged you and inspired you. I hope this came right on time for you guys. Again, you know, I wanted to just share my life story with you. And I think I'm going to make this, you know, an ongoing thing. I want to be able to share my life story to you guys so you can know, you know, the real Tuanta, right? Not so much just to brag about my life or whatever, because yeah, I have been truly blessed. Yes, I have. But it's a testimony for those out there who might be going through something. And because a lot of people that are deep in their trials and tribulations and their circumstances, you know, we always think that we're the only ones that's going through and nobody understands our pain. But once I open up or once we open up and we start to testify and share our story, what God has done in our life, then that person will be, you know, will feel differently. They will respond differently. They will realize like, oh, wow, I wasn't by myself. Oh, wow. Okay. I see what she had to do to get through that situation. You see what I'm saying? So I hope this has truly awakened you and encouraged you as well to go forth and to be a blessing as well. So we're going to close up with a prayer. Father God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this platform. I pray that this has been a blessing to every single listener out there. I hope that this had opened up a lot of people to really go ahead and embrace the moment that you have allowed them to be in, that they will go ahead and jump forward to their dreams and their visions, make those visions come to pass, make it happen, to not worry about age, to not worry about their status, their education, to not worry about none of that stuff, but just to know that you and you alone, you are supporting us, that you got us, and that you are with us every step of the way, that there is no weapon formed against us that's going to prosper, that you have a purpose and a calling in our life. Help us, O Lord, to embrace what you are now showcasing us right now. Help us to just embrace all of the beauty of us and to enjoy what you have presented to us and to go 100% with confidence and with boldness and with that resilience that is in every single one of us and to change the world. Because it's not about us. It's about those that individuals out there, oh God, that you want us to minister to, that you want us to encourage, to inspire, to bless. And that you know, that we know, God, that you will take good care of us, that you are going, that you are taking care of us and that you will continue to do just that as long as we do what you have called us to do. We thank you, God, for this blessing. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.